All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our NBA podcast for Friday, April 7th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
Don't call him Steve Urkel. We are from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com.
TGIF.
DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. Here to help you get started, keep winning FanDuel and or DraftKings NBA. As always, we have a free, well, not as always, for a limited time, we have a free 7-day trial.
Today's the last day of that. That goes away tomorrow.
Ooh, get on that right now for a big Friday in basketball. Free 7-day trial to our projection system. It's optimal lineups powered by Lineup Lab. That's for NBA, FanDuel, and DraftKings. MLB, FanDuel, and DraftKings. You're all set to go all under one subscription blanket. So dfsr.com/MLB will get you that offer. Last day to grab it, and then it's back to a lousy 3-day free trial.
What's the catch, dude? What's the catch? 7 free-day trial. What's the catch?
There is no catch.
No catch? Oh, my God.
No catch. Yeah, it's amazing. All right, so we had a pretty big Friday in the NBA, all things considered. Some of the teams, like we've been talking about in the podcast, teams right now at varying levels of A, wanting to win, not needing to win, resting guys. We're going to get into where some of these teams kind of stand. This is the big problem with the late season NBA, as always. I said last night, it's like NBA is fantastically frustrating at the end of the season.
That's
like
a sick pun, dude.
Did you like what I did there?
Yeah, that's pretty good. As you're following along at home, that's based on the NBA's is fantastic campaign that they ran.
Yeah, and then you throw out a leaf frustrating.
No, that was like really good.
But it's crazy at the end of the season. Guys are sitting, teams are tanking, and now we're really getting into it where playoff seedings are starting to crystallize anyway. So we'll talk a little bit team by team where these teams stand and who still is kind of, I don't know, incentivized to win. The first game on the schedule. Oh, and one more thing. Lineup Lock does not happen until 7:30 tonight. So, you get that extra half hour to, fiddle with lineups. Oh, and also one exciting note: tonight I'm qualified for the DraftKings 100 man. That's like the
humble
last.
Humble brag.
Well, it's not humble. I'm just bragging. For their King of the Court 100 man entry, $20,000 to first place. That goes off tonight. So I was able to qualify for that about a week ago. So that will be going down tonight. So looking forward to one last chance of like just kind of one of those small. It's not a live final, but like just kind of those small.
It's like a satellite.
Small player, small player pool, big prize thing going off tonight. So I will be doing that anyway.
We'll be rooting you on at home, Doug.
Yeah, that's great. We will. The first game is Cleveland and Atlanta. Atlanta is going to sit Millsap tonight on the back to back. I think he's the only guy that they've scheduled to sit. Cleveland, pretty big favorites here. They are still in win mode, but they're moving toward they're moving into like sort of home free for the East.
They pretty much have to win one more. Yeah,
that's it, right? And so they're 11-point favorites here. My first question is: they're such big favorites. It kind of hasn't mattered for LeBron in terms of like blowouts with how much they play them. They blew the Celtics out the other night and had no problem playing him like 39 minutes. 11-point favorites, how much, you know, where do we set his minutes expectation? He's one of the best plays on the slate, but I'm a little concerned that this is the time that they kind of just blow Atlanta out and then he sees 30 minutes or something.
There are a lot of people out there trying to figure out when the time LeBron's going to stop playing big minutes in a game has been, and nobody's been right so far. So
they haven't done it. Yeah,
I know. I just don't think I'm right. That's what I'm saying. Like, I just don't. It's like when people predict the crash of the stock market, they just predict it. Then it happens, and everyone's like, Peter Schiff is a genius. He knew exactly when the stock market was going to crash.
Bing called it.
Somebody's going to be right on that. And maybe it could be one of those things. I really haven't looked at, you know, the actual nature of the slate where we want to be paying up just yet. But it could be one of those things where we can get away with just paying up elsewhere. And then it's better to be a day early than a day late on when LeBron doesn't play his full minutes. But he might just play his full minutes regardless. Like, you know, home court advantage throughout the playoffs is kind of a big deal. There's still the chance to just put the Celtics out of contention, still looming here. They're two up in the loss column, but that does mean, I guess, they do have to win 2-3 more games to really solidify it. So yeah, 3 more to lock it if the Celtics went out. So yeah, they'll still be playing. I think LeBron plays his minutes. The Hawks, of course, also gonna probably want to go out there and win this basketball game also. It's really a quagmire down in the bottom half of the East in terms of seeding. Yep. And whatnot. The top 4 seeds are all in for sure, but Atlanta, I mean, there's an outside chance. It's very outside just because 4 teams would have to leapfrog them, but there's an outside chance they still just don't make the playoffs. So they've just got to win some basketball games. They've got 4 games left. They're going to be throwing everyone at the Cavs here too, and I think it's a game you can kind of trust the minutes on.
Yeah, I'm surprised they sat Millsap in this one, and I'm surprised they sat him in the front end of the back-to-back and not this game because, although maybe they just wanted to chalk this up as a loss, because the thing with them
it kind of feels like they just assume they're going to lose.
And they don't, they're in the situation where they don't even, they might miss the playoffs, but they're also just kind of like have a chance to just also play Cleveland in the first round. Like, they could drop down to the eighth spot. Anyway, I haven't like gone through all the permutations of the playoffs. All this being said, Millsap sitting out. Well, so so LeBron, we're a little worried about the minutes there. I think Kyrie is a pretty good value against a Schrader defense who he just really doesn't play any defense at all. Cleveland is expected to put up points. On the Atlanta side, without Millsap, we've seen Ilyasova play, you know, minutes in the 30s. Possibly Prince getting up there too as they run him some small ball four. Do you like either of those guys on the slate?
Yeah, Ilyasova more than Prince. I think Ilyasova will be highly owned. Prince is a little bit more variable to me. I think his minutes actually rely a little bit more on what they like to do with Kent Bazemore. They've kind of been easing Bazemore back in. He hasn't really topped 21 minutes in the four games since he's come back, but he's another one that feels kind of in the opposite way to LeBron. I feel like at some point he's probably going to play a few extra minutes. Obviously, Cephalosha being out and his ongoing injury issues helps Prince probably more than all those guys combined. But it's enough to where, you know, Prince at 4,200 now, not like the $3,500 punt we've seen in the past. And all of this to say, he'll still be like a good play, I think. I don't think you want to get away from it necessarily, but it's not one I would want to build my lineup around. So it's somewhere between good but not great for me.
Tristan Thompson sat out last game. We'll set out again. They did start Channing Frye. It kind of didn't matter. Frye started and played 17 minutes. So it's not like there's the Tristan Thompson not playing does not open up doesn't open up significant minutes really for anybody else on Cleveland. Like I said, just to reiterate on this game, you're really just trying to factor in the blowout and whether or not that matters for LeBron. We're not totally convinced it does matter, but it's definitely a concern, especially for cash games when there are a couple other big guys you can pay up for.
I mean, LeBron played 39 minutes against Boston when they won. They were up by 22 going into the third.
That's what I mean. I'm with you. That's why I said that. It sure seems like they're going to play him. I still am holding out this grand hope that they come to their senses with him and just kind of rest them for a game or just like try to, and I'll get the dagger going early and just get it.
They won it all last year. Like, what? I don't know. I think they'll probably do with LeBron like they've been doing. I think it's also worth noting too, Atlanta sneaky bad against a few different positions. It's very strange because they're fourth in defensive efficiency this season, but they've been real bad against point guards and small forwards. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. But allowing the second most fantasy points to opposing small forwards, probably because of that rotating door that they have there. So I suspect you'll see LeBron as something of a chalk play tonight.
You could definitely, and like I said, there's only because it exists. There exists some other big money plays in good spots that it's close, but and we'll get to
that's
why
he's something
guys.
Of a chalk play, not like a slam dunk. But
the second 7:30 game is Miami and Toronto. Toronto saw Lowry come back here. Lowry comes back, and then with no minutes restriction, he just played a ton of minutes last game. out of nowhere. Played I think somewhere around 39 or 40 minutes just in his first game back. So Toronto makes it pretty clear their intentions with him going into the playoffs. Not a really great matchup here against Miami. The other thing to maybe consider here is James Johnson did get the start last game for Luke Babbitt. Was real good. Played still kind of like didn't play a ton of minutes. Where do you see him? He's 6,400. He's existed in this coming off the bench but being real good most of the season. If he continued to start, how safe is he? He's not cheap. Like 6,400 is upper middle tier in terms of pricing on FanDuel. How do you kind of view a guy like him if his role is just as a starting power forward now?
Yeah, I view him with some trepidation, I guess. Like, if he would have added 7 minutes to his profile, I think we could have been a lot more enthusiastic about it. But the fact that he only added really three over the prior game against Denver leads me to believe that it's probably not the plan to play him high 30s minutes. I mean, we saw him flirt into the mid-30s a few times this season, mostly in February when they were dealing with greater injury issues there. But, you know, if Babbitt sits again, he was good on these prices. I don't think it's something that you want to ignore necessarily, but 6,400 is kind of a lot for what he brings to the table. So I don't know that it's going to be, I don't know that our system is going to land there, particularly in a pretty slow matchup with Toronto.
Yeah, in general, the slowness of this matchup is probably what keeps it off of most, not radars, but keeps us from really kind of discussing it a lot. These two teams are pretty good at defense. The total for this game is low.
Third lowest.
Lowry coming back kills DeRozan in the sense of DeRozan just saw his price climb and climb and climb without Lowry around, and now Lowry's back, and that kind of kills the usage there. So everyone here just, to me, sort of just falls in the middle. I don't particularly like anything about this game, but Johnson is interesting. I'm with you. I wish he had played 35 minutes or something like that in that last game, and then I feel probably a lot better about it. And there's just also no guarantee that he's going to start again. Oh, okay. I was waiting. I wasn't sure if you were going to say something, but
no,
you
I agree.
Weren't.
That's right.
Oh, great. Awesome. That's great. That's great podcasting, everybody. We just got this nice ebb and flow to our conversations now where I just stop and then there's a little couple minutes of silence and then we keep going. 8 o'clock game. Houston and Detroit. Houston, huge favorites here, minus 12. So blowout risk. Blowout risk is pretty high for guys like Harden and the rest of the crew. Is this another one, like, so we're going to get to guys like Westbrook and Davis and Cousins later, but with Harden, with the blowout risk plus like a kind of a slower pace down matchup against Detroit, does that all just begin to remove him from sort of the who are we going to pay for equation?
Certainly best for me. I mean, it actually excites me on some level too, because people, I just have this classic problem of misevaluating, I don't know, just basic division, because they look at it and they just see big numbers next to Harden's name day in and day out and just assume you can play him at any price. And, you know, you have a ton of options tonight, so maybe a lot of people don't land here, but it's probably exaggerating to say this on some level, but I think if you play Harden, you're putting yourself dramatically behind the eight ball to start things off. Now, he's been kind of underwhelming recently anyway, so maybe people just won't go that direction, but like in the last five games, 41, 53, 42, 39, and 58, you'd be unhappy with all of those in cash games. Like, you could get by on the 58-point game against Denver, but that's the best possible matchup in the NBA. I just don't – I'm just not going to be anywhere near him.
Yeah, I think I'm the same way. I'm kind of the same way with the whole Houston team. Lou Williams, a little bit interesting at shooting guard, but mostly because shooting guard is really thin tonight. It was real bad on
being chalked last game too.
Yeah, and he could just not play. Like, he's another guy, like, where, you know, I know he's a bench guy, and sometimes you're like, oh, bench guys get running blowouts, but he's not that kind of guy. Like, he's their sixth man.
He's a part of the plan. Yeah.
Exactly. And so he will just, then you're really in trouble in blowouts, because he's already doesn't come into like the 4-minute mark of the first quarter or something like that, maybe even longer, on that first rotation. And then if that's going to happen and the game's over by the fourth, then you're just seeing really a total dust off of minutes for him. So only in consideration for me, because he's still coming very cheap at 4,500 on FanDuel, and shooting guard just in general is real bad. So that's really the only reason I kind of like throw him in there. And honestly, KCP is the same way. Detroit is huge underdogs here. But he's a guy, if the games can stay anywhere close, he will play, you know, 35 to 36 minutes. He didn't play much last game, but that was because he had like a personal issue and didn't get there till like the second half of the game started or something like that. It was like something weird. Like, he just showed up to the stadium late. So if you look at his minutes from the recent thing, that's why that looks less. I mean, so my point being, I wouldn't consider anyone for Detroit except for KCP, and it's only because he's cheap, and I'm just really worried. Shooting guard is the position where I just think is kind of just a disaster tonight.
Yeah, shooting guard is tough, and I think the combination of, we talk about what kind of players are affected by blowouts more than others. Shooting guard is the one position where it's, if you're going to have a team that's on the wrong side of a blowout, shooting guard is the position, or a guy on the wrong side of a blowout, shooting guard is the position you can get by on, because if they fall behind, he's more likely to have usage and possessions.
Detroit side, like I said, Ish Smith, maybe. If you think they stay close, it's an interesting team to stack against Houston, because they could put, sure. Right, yeah. You know, guys like Drummond, I'm saying just strictly from a tournament perspective, but in cash, I'm not really probably going to go there. The other 8 o'clock game is the Knicks and the Grizzlies. No line in this game, and I'm trying to figure out why. Conley is he's probable to play. He had an eye cut laceration last game, but he's probably going to play this game.
I think Porzingis is. I don't think we have
Porzingis sat. Yeah, real late last time the Knicks played, which was yesterday. He sat right at the last second, and then they did the old. I know he sat last game, and we started Nidior. Tonight, mm-hmm. It's going to be Marshall. It's going to be Plumlee. The Knicks are just, they're all over the place. And I'm thinking also there's probably some speculation that maybe Melo sits on the back-to-back. He played last night. The Knicks are a total mess. That being said, if Melo and Porzingis sat, do you think we'd be able to find something in the way of value on a Knicks team who would then be without... by the way, the Melo thing is just me guessing. There's no news on that. But let's say even Porzingis sat again. The fact that they're now without Rose and Porzingis, even in a matchup against Memphis, I mean, is there anything we can take from the Knicks team?
Yeah, I mean, the major thing you're going to be able to take is just pay attention as we get closer to lineup lock and figure out where they're going to try and assign their minutes. Yeah, like Ndour, I can't explain why he didn't get any minutes last night, kind of like in the Mindaugas-Kuzmingas camp of you're in one day and then you're out the next day. Kuzma Mingus is hysterical too because he just randomly sat that one game.
I'm still mad about
that. I'm sorry. Yeah. I shouldn't have brought it up. We'll talk about it off the air. I'll just put my headphones in and you can just go off on me for a few minutes. But Kuzma Mingus, like, then he comes back and just plays 18 minutes a game in the games after that. Right. So it's no rhyme nor reason to any of the stuff the Knicks are doing right now. But to your point, yeah, Rose, I mean, Porzingis, just even those two guys means a lot more shots to go around. If Carmelo Anthony does play, that's a pretty interesting play. If he sits, obviously, just it's the Wild West, and there's going to be way too many just straight possessions in a basketball game to go around based on how much, like, you can play all the Knicks five starters for like 20,000 probably at that point.
Right.
So, pay attention in that case. But I don't know how much value there is in speculating at this point.
Ron Baker was playing huge minutes and then just played 27 last night at point guard. They ran Justin Holiday 33 in a close game. So this is just one of those teams that, you know, they're not Sacramento Kings East, but they're close in terms of just not being able to totally trust what they're going to do on a game-to-game basis with their minutes. And hopefully, I mean, like I said, if they were to sit all the big guys and we had a clear understanding of who their starting lineup would be, then I would consider it. And it were helped a little bit probably because Memphis is just such a terrible matchup. So I think we would need really, really clear lineups, and just I would need to feel really trusting of the Knicks and Hornacek, and I'm not totally sure we're going to get that. Nick, the Grizzly side of the ball, Conley's back. I mean, is there anything on this side, or there's just other value to be had on the slate maybe?
Conley's interesting. I mean, the Knicks, the names you ran out there as their potential guards tonight, Ron Baker and Justin Holiday, aren't inspiring any great fear in me necessarily. Conley, on the other hand, you know, kind of hasn't been doing it on 8,000 recently. I mean, he got there in three straight games in relatively reasonable matchups with the Lakers, Indiana, and then Dallas. But other than that, he's been flirting in the low 30s, mid-30s, and I don't know that this matchup is so great that you would really want to push the envelope with him. I also think there's considerable blowout risk if the Knicks do wind up sitting there good players. So in that case, I'd be really disinterested. I just think it's not one of those, like, it doesn't, when I look at this game overall, it doesn't strike me as a game I'm going to have a lot of exposure to for my cash game purposes, you know, for big tournaments, maybe like Tony Allen. Tony Allen's had some huge games recently, but again, not probably where I want to be for cash games.
The Grizzlies' playoff destiny, I believe, is just kind of set too. I think it looks like they're basically locked into the seventh spot in the West. So that's the other thing that would concern me with just those, yep, their starters even seeing anything close to significant run. The other game on the slate, or excuse me, the other we're going to the 8:30 game. The one that probably is going to raise the most questions tonight is the Spurs and Dallas. The Spurs announced yesterday that they're going to sit every guy on their team. Basically, they're going to sit Kawhi, Aldridge, Gasol, and Danny Green's also going to sit. They've done this before. Oh, and Manu Ginobili also. So basically, everyone that is pretty good on their team is going to sit. Which I wonder if, like, Tony Parker's like, "Hey guys, I noticed all the good players are sitting. Am I gonna sit too, Coach?" And he's like, "No, you're gonna play. you're not as good as these other guys. Just so you know, you're not in the same class as those."
Honestly,
guys
if we have to play Patty Mills in the playoffs, is it the worst thing? No, get out there, Tony. We're fine.
So the Spurs have done this before, where they've sat everybody. But they've also done it a couple times, and their plan in each of those times has been different, right? So, like, some teams sit everybody, and the Golden State sits their starters, and Ian Clark gets a ton of minutes, let's say. That hasn't really happened here, and I'm just a little concerned with, because it sure seems like this would be the most fantastic place to just snatch all this value.
Sure, but David Lee comes to mind here, right?
Right, okay, so David Lee's a good example. Played 31 minutes the first time they sat everybody, and then started both, and then played 17 the next time, and then just, like, sat one game out, I think.
And like, it was late scratch, yeah. Just like, nah, right. I'm not going to play against Utah, sure.
Like, Kyle Anderson starts one game, plays 35 minutes, and the next game plays off the bench at 21 minutes. Mills, if Parker's around, Mills is still coming off the bench. Like, I don't know, Davis Bertans is another guy, like, could start, play 30 minutes, could play 17. Like, I could probably just keep going on and on and on. But
you just want to say other guys.
Well, yeah, we just keep naming Dwayne Dedman.
And then could play 35 minutes, could play 14. I don't know.
Right. So what do we do here? I stared at this for a long time last night. I continue to stare at it this morning. I wasn't able to make any clear determinations about what to do, and then at the same time, I feel like one or two of these Spurs guys could just end up in, like, winning GPP lineups. So
I hear that David Lee's going to start, and I suspect that we will. I think he'll be a cash game staple. I know people got bitten by that recently, but he's just such a good value. And even if he plays 28 minutes or whatever, he's only 4,000 on FanDuel. His price has dropped even since you know, these guys have been out recently. So I think he's a guy that comes to mind for me. I think the other ones are kind of hit or miss, big tournament plays. Anderson, Davis, Bertans. These guys have paid off from time to time. Like Bertans, I would actually be pretty unenthusiastic about, but Anderson is a guy who, you know, if he was going to be out there, I would play Kyle Anderson as a starter, especially if I wanted to, if I felt like I had really good payoffs elsewhere. Worth noting in this game, it's going to be tricky for a lot of people to evaluate. It's the lowest total maybe that I've seen this season. I don't know, 190. Have you seen a total that low earlier?
I mean, not that comes to mind, but like I'm
the
sure
combination
like an early
of
season.
Slow players and bad players that are going to be playing in this game just really has Vegas perplexed, I think. And they're like, I don't know how, like, can you picture the Spurs putting up 90 points with the guys that are going to be out there? So,
well, the best part about it is the Spurs are still favored, like, and on the road against Dallas. Like, I know you're sitting everybody, and Dallas might play all their good guys. Still kind of leaning Spurs here.
Is Popovich going to be at the game? Because if he's at the game, then yeah, I don't know. And so on the one hand, say the Spurs are only penciled in to score 90 points tonight. If their total salary of their starting lineup is 18 or 22,000, like, that's still value. So I think that you should keep an eye on this game. I think you should be ready. I think you should be ready to play David Lee and maybe somebody else in a pinch if we get confirmed word that they're going to be in the starting lineup. And to that effect, like, is it insane to play Tony Parker tonight? I mean, Parker, he's 3,900 on FanDuel right now. It doesn't seem like he's going to play a ton of minutes, but, you know, he played 31-30 in the previous two games against Memphis and Utah, and he's kind of been paying this price with his eyes closed recently.
Yeah, you know what? It's one of the questions. It's like a Sophie's choice. I really don't want to even consider, like, because I'm pretty sure once we put in some queries for these guys, which I didn't do, I haven't done yet this morning. Once we put in some usage queries in, it's going to boost guys like Parker and a couple of these other guys. And I just think it's going to be just one big, it feels like one big trap slash one big payoff. Like, I'm just, this is the thing we'll probably wrestle with most of the day. I will say that the Spurs, the good news on the Spurs is they've been very good with news this year. Like, they've been, for a team that probably had got a reputation in the past of, you know, there's like a whole verb about getting popped in the industry, where, you know, the Spurs, when the whole kind of guys resting thing started, which is about 2 years ago, the Spurs were the worst. Like, you would just never know who's going to play or not. Now they're one of the most forthright teams, and they might just be the most just putting news out there team in the whole league. So
except for two nights ago, when they sat David Lee and didn't tell anybody. But yeah,
in general, I would say.
I'm with you. My big takeaway here is if you get the word Lee is starting, I'm playing him. I'm probably not playing anyone else from this game, if I had to sum it up.
So that's what news we'll wait on through the course of the day. 9 o'clock game, Denver and New Orleans. Another one that we're probably going to want to target pretty heavily here. Yeah. Denver -6.5 favorite. It looks like the guys who sat the other night when they played, like Will Barton is just questionable. Jahnrio Nelson is doubtful. Let's start on the Denver side. Jokic was real good the other night. Still kind of expensive. Has to, you know, front both and or Boogie and or Davis. Where do you see guys like Jokic, Jamal Murray in terms of cash game against a New Orleans team that's not fantastic on defense?
Well, I mean, this matchup, it's kind of like the 80s Celtics and Lakers matchup, but in reverse, where it's like you get the first and fourth best matchup for point guards, the first and sixth best matchup for shooting guards. It's like every player at every position essentially is in play for this game. So, right. I mean, I could list every player at every position here, or I could just tell you that as you're making your lineup, you probably, I mean, this game is the highest total on the night and a relatively close line. You know, a lot of times the big total games involve Golden State or something. That's not the case tonight. So, you know, just a 6.5 spread towards Denver, and I'm a little even dubious of that, frankly. I think New Orleans probably slightly better than their record would dictate, especially with Boogie in the mix. But yeah, like up and down the lineup, I'm happy about everyone. I would love to play Jrue Holiday, super affordable price, 7,500 based on what he's been doing recently. I mean, I think we can just turn to their last game that they played and just see the fantasy totals that were put up there and be pretty happy regardless of who you wind up with.
Yeah, I think this is the one. This is the game that will probably have the highest ownership among the big money players, and outside of Westbrook, who we'll get to in a couple minutes. But guys like Jokic, Cousins, Davis, Holiday's not in the same price tier. They're all in play, and it really just you're just gonna have to make some decisions about money because you're not gonna be able to play all of them. Jamal Murray's another guy. He was pretty chalk last game. Price did come up a little bit, but he did. You know, the concern going into the last game with him was, he had started a couple games, but then still only played something like 27 to 29 minutes. Last game, went out and played 32 or 33. I do think you see him as a chalk play again, but I'm just not... Well, actually, I take that back because he just only played 25 against Houston. He's at 4,300. Would you feel safe with him in cash games?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's a totally fine cash game play. I think Gary Harris kind of interesting here too. Gary Harris went off. So I just pulled up this game log, by the way. The total was 265 when they met 3 days ago. And Denver had, let's see here, three guys with 40 or more fantasy points. And their guys aren't very expensive, so that's good. And Holiday, Davis, and Cousins were all insane in this game as well. I think this is just going to be like another... It's like the all-star game, basically, when these two teams played the last time around. Lots of highlight reel dunks and stuff, and just no defense. So just sticking with my guns. Basically, all the starters in play for Denver, minus whoever plays power forward, probably, and the big three on New Orleans, for sure.
The other 9 o'clock game is the Jazz and the Timberwolves. Timberwolves coming on the back-to-back here. They played last night. Utah could be without some key players here. Again, George Hill sat last game. He's doubtful for tonight, and they're still without... Rodney Hood's questionable. Favors is questionable. We saw pretty big games, decent games out of Hayward and Gobert. So the usage goes up a little bit when Hill and Hood are not on the court. How do you view guys like them against a Minnesota team that's a little bit suspect on defense, but they don't play particularly fast?
Yeah, I don't view them very highly. It's a big slate tonight. Maybe there's some interesting things you could do here for big tournaments, but Minnesota, maybe they're not a great defensive efficiency team overall, but they're bottom five in the league for opposing small forwards thanks to Wiggins. And Utah just doesn't really have that much offensive depth when it comes to putting up fantasy totals. Gobert's a guy people have had some success with recently. He's getting pretty expensive. He's topping 9,000 now on FanDuel. Towns, probably his reputation outstrips his actual performance on the defensive end, but still a reasonable defender. It's going to be a pretty slow game, just not really one I'm over the moon about here.
Yeah, I'm pretty much on the same page. I mean, maybe you see Joe Ingles get another start. He played 34 minutes. He's reasonable at these prices, I believe, although he played 34 minutes and scored 2 points last game. So
yeah, it's just a slate, yeah. Man. You just can't play players from every game, and I don't know. I'm just not excited here at all.
10 o'clock, the lone 10 o'clock game is OKC and Phoenix. Now, OKC only an 8-point favorite here just because they have trouble. I think they just have trouble in general blowing people out, although they did blow the Bucks out the other night. Westbrook is as expensive as you'll ever see a player, 13.5 on FanDuel. Still kind of a great play. So 13.5, it's a huge slate. You're going to get some savings elsewhere. Phoenix is Phoenix. They are absolutely horrible on defense. Do you see Westbrook has... Do you think the pace of this game is fast enough that Westbrook, there's a reasonable to high chance that he is able to pay off a salary, which is, to me, seems absolutely bananas, and then it's the Sun. So what are your thoughts here on Westbrook, and where do you think people end up sort of in their ownership with him?
I think he'll be highly owned, and I'm not sure it's correct. It's, again, this thing with Westbrook, and I know I harp on this for every single big money guy, and I'm sorry to put you guys through it one more time, but... On the basic math problem element, to get 5x on Westbrook, which is roughly where you've needed to be for cash games this season, you're going to need 67.5 fantasy points. This season, Westbrook has averaged a triple-double and 59 fantasy points. Now, Phoenix is about as good a matchup as you can possibly hope for. They play fast. They play poorly. They don't really care if they win or lose. The guys who are going to be covering Westbrook are probably going to play 45 minutes a time, so they're going to be exhausted. There's a lot to like about playing Westbrook tonight. Just don't expect to get the 74 points you got against Memphis last time around. That being said, I think as we were talking about all the other games, I talked about this with LeBron early on. I think you are going to get a chance to take some payoffs, and there's no better payoff in DFS basketball than Westbrook right now.
Yeah, I think on FanDuel, he'll be in 100% of our cash game lineups. I can just tell right now he already is, and when that's the case this early, that just stays the case throughout the rest of the day. It's going to be a little bit different on DraftKings where the salaries are tighter. It's harder to I didn't even look at this. He's 14,000 on DraftKings. Oh, and he's still actually a pretty good points per dollar multiplier. 5.19 points per dollar at 14,000. You got to be kidding me. It's so insane. His numbers are, they're just insane. I still think that's probably too much, but it will depend if how comfortable we start feeling about players on the lower end of the spectrum as news comes in throughout the day. Phoenix side, they're another team where they're still playing guys like Ulis decent minutes. He's not particularly good at real life basketball, but if he's going to, like, we've seen the games where he'll play 42 to 45 minutes, like, and he kind of just hovers around 39 sort of safely in a really high tempo game, in a game where, I mean, it doesn't even matter if the game stays close for them or not. Like, he just plays. So where do you see, how do you see Ulis or guys like Devin Booker in this game against OKC?
I think Ulis is great. You know, if you look up and down his game log, he frequently, I mean, he touches 5X almost day in and day out and goes for 6+ many days too. Booker's kind of interesting because his fantasy totals are not that much higher than Ulis, but he's 2,000 more, probably just on name value alone. I think Booker's is an okay play. Ulis just strikes me as a great play.
See, I think Booker is just, like, not that good of a play. Like, he's fine, but you put it pretty well when you said it's name. It's only name on him. Like, he had the one huge game.
No, it's not only name. He's averaged better than 5X in his last four games.
And that's a good point. I just think he's still overpriced. I think the point is, though, he's...
Agreed.
Yes, that's mostly what it is. I think he's just overpriced, and people will get that, like, 70-point game stuck in their mind, and that's just not really totally the reality. He's a good play, but I wouldn't go overboard with him. And yep, and Westbrook, man, I never thought we'd see the day. 13-5 and 14,000 for a player, and still just saying, got to just kind of lock him in.
Lakers, Oladipo, any interest there?
Yeah, not as much. I mean, the Suns are just such a good matchup. He's gotten a little bit expensive as well. Like, he's covering up to 6,000. He's fine if you think he's going to play, I don't know, 36 minutes or something like that. He played 39 against Memphis last time, but he's kind of just does hover too much in the 33 range for me to feel really good about it. And yes, minutes are good for guys like him, except that when you play in a team with Westbrook, it's kind of all bets are off in terms of your usage.
Yeah, you're
just
not going to see. Yeah.
Exactly, and he just more often than not doesn't seem to just get enough looks. But yeah, I mean, if you think he plays 37 minutes because the OKC is still really trying to win or something like that, then great. But I'm not so excited.
OKC, real quick, another team just locked into their playoff positioning, two games behind the Clippers in the loss column, and four games up on Memphis. They're not moving. So.
Yeah, I wonder. So I was trying to, like, evaluate too on the thing, like, with Westbrook. Now I think he still has, like, this triple double record.
Oh, he's gonna play. He has to go for the triple double thing.
Well, I think he's also just going for the MVP too. Like, I think that he and guys like Harden. The only reason it's crazy, but I think these guys are so, like, playing to win the MVP. And I always try to, this is a really difficult thing to evaluate and to understand. And I'm not even sure if it's a totally real thing, but it does feel a little real. The MVP debate this year has been, I mean, they've been talking about this thing since November, basically, in terms of, like, who should win. Yeah. And it's guys like Westbrook, Harden, LeBron, and I guess Kawhi was in there for a little bit, but probably not anymore. So it's really kind of those three guys in consideration for MVP. And I think that's on these guys' mind. And I think that you can just see more minutes out of Westbrook than you would have been reasonable to assume before, just because I think he wants between the triple-double thing and the MVP thing, that's enough to keep him on the court for a lot of minutes. So I don't know. I feel kind of safe. I feel safe with a narrative streak kind of piece of that.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm going to run real quick into an ad before we go into our final game here. And that's going to be for FantasyFactor.com. Fantasy Factor is one of our trusted partners. They offer daily fantasy contests for all the major sports. And the nice thing about Fantasy Factor is you head over there. First of all, they give a lot of free rolls for new players. So between $100, you know, $500 guaranteed from week to week, especially as baseball season's been kicking off. You can use promo code DFSR25 and you can get a a $25 bonus up to your first $25 deposited. But yeah, the nice thing is you go over there, you don't have to play against the Sharks putting in 100, 200 lineups into your big double ups. Most people are putting in one to two lineups and kind of just having fun and trying to win some money in the process. So fantasyfactor.com, check them out. They'll do another free roll today on Friday, and I'm sure as the season progresses, they'll do even more. So go over there, say hi, tell them we sent you, and we'll see you there.
One of my favorite things to do going into this last game is to, whenever the Kings play, to look at their injury report and just see the reasons that people have come up with for certain of their guys to not play. So if you look down their injury report now, you get Ty Lawson, he's probable, rest. Darren Collison, probable, rest. Kosta Koufos, probable, rest. And then you wonder about guys like the resting on the other way, which could be like Tyreke Evans, could rest. So with a team like this, do we just throw our hands up and say skip and kind of forget about it, or would you feel, because the Lakers are a great matchup for the Kings, would you feel comfortable making any determinations on Sacramento, or it's just kind of too dicey for a team that just there's seemingly no rhyme or reason to, like, kind of what they do on a night-to-night basis?
Yeah, no, I'm not going to touch any of these guys unless I just trying to win money in a big tournament, basically. Lawson's kind of interesting if we get confirmation that he's playing and Collison isn't. Just again, for I'm only talking big tournaments here. I hope no one puts these guys in their cash games, because I can already taste the angry emails. It's just hysterical, by the way, just clicking through FanDuel. They're like, Sacramento, they just don't have anyone that qualifies at small forward. They just don't play anyone at that position. But I'll tell you what they do have. Seven shooting guards.
Every single guy on that team is a shooting guard.
That's unbelievable. So the answer is, just from the fact that they have seven shooting guards on their roster out of the 12 total players, it's pretty much a no. I guess Willie Cauley-Stein, kind of interesting. You know, he's been paying off somewhat frequently recently. Again, we're talking big tournaments only. He can play between 27 and 34 minutes on any given night. So, yeah, just unfortunately, we're ending with another dud. Sorry, a lot of duds tonight. Weird.
Well, this
weird,
is not, well,
rich and poor situation where so much uncertainty tonight, and then some like really lockstep uncertainty. It actually makes me pretty excited for the slate, because I think a lot of people are going to fall in a lot of little sinkholes.
Well, the Lakers are another one of those teams, because last game they randomly sat out D'Angelo Russell, and there's a chance. I mean, I don't know if they thought he was injured. I'm not sure why they would bring him back. They just keep winning games. Unfortunately for them, they don't want to win. Tyler Ennis did start, played a ton of minutes. If we knew that Russell was going to sit, let's say we get the news on Russell early. He's only questionable right now. But let's say, you know, it's before 7:30, we get news that he's not going to play. Could we lock Tyler Ennis in for another 37 minutes? And at that point, does he become like kind of a chalk play at 3,800 on FanDuel?
He very well could. You know, he was a guy, he got that surprise start the other day. And, you know, some people were annoyed. Most people were ambivalent. And then he wound up and paid this thing going away against in a tough matchup with the Spurs. So I think we saw in that game that the game script the plan allowed him to have the ball in his hands a ton. The six assists and 19 points speak to that. Because, you know, sometimes you get these backup point guards, and then they're kind of like a point guard in name only. Like, if you back up Patrick Beverly, it doesn't mean you're going to actually dribble the ball up and down the court for Houston. But Ennis did. So, yeah, he's definitely an interesting guy.
And then we get guys like Larry Nance, who had played big minutes and then kind of randomly sat down the stretch against the Spurs when they were trying to lose. And this is going to be a really interesting who can tank worst job between the Clippers.
It's coming down to
the Lakers.
It's coming down to it.
Because both of these teams want to lose. They are not locked. I mean, Sacramento's tied with the Timberwolves to where they could just drop. This is so funny, but like the reverse playoff kind of stuff. It's like, all right, they're locked in with the Timberwolves, same record. They could lose all the rest of their games, and Timberwolves could win to drop them even farther. Lakers can also, there's still a fighting chance for them to be able to catch the Suns at the bottom. Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see what they do. A little crappy chess match going on between the Lakers and the Kings.
It really is funny. Nance thing was particularly egregious, too, because you could just picture them. They're like, Larry, 15-9 in 21 minutes? What are you trying to
bro,
make
slow
the
your
first
roll.
Team NBA? Get out of here.
Down. We can put you in here to play hard. Put you in there to kind of see what you have. You did too good, and now it's time for you to sit, and not time for us to play the rest of the losers. You were just too good. All right, so a lot of things to consider for today. Some injury stuff kind of hanging out there that we're going to monitor and update our system throughout the day, and you can get access to that system. DFSR.com/MLB will get you a free 7-day trial that will cover you for optimal lineups, FanDuel, and DraftKings. We've had a very successful run, especially late season NBA, because look, we just spent a lot of time making sure and making sure that the minutes and usages for teams are correct in a way that I don't think our competitors are doing. I'm proud of it. If you want kind of like a proof in the pudding, just go over to our chat room, ask our users that are talking basketball and baseball all day there what they think of the system, and they will let you know honestly, because it's been very good and we're proud of what we do. DFSR.com/MLB will get you started, buddy. Enjoy your weekend, TGIF, and I'll talk to you again next week, a little more NBA.
Adios.